Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it's a little bit cold tonight. It's in the 40s, but it's still the sun and fun capital of the world. This is Dr. John Stamey, and we're so glad to have everybody listening in, joining us on Pro Wrestling Interviews. We got a great show tonight, and I'm going to talk to my buddy, the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina. Now, by the way, I got to tell you, I was there the other week. Ravenel's bigger than you think, but he's still the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina. But first, let me quickly introduce our guest panelists tonight from Richmond, Virginia. We've got Professor of Wrestling. We got Steve Logan. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Well, doing good. Definitely looking forward to this interview and asking about his former opponents later on.
Well, that's great. And we have one of the greats in wrestling down here in the South, the one and only Sinister. How you doing tonight, buddy? Glad to have you here with us.
Oh, I'm doing great. Glad for you having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Absolutely. And from Battleground Championship Wrestling, the one, the only Adam Helms. How you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm doing good. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while, so I can't wait to get it started.
Well, that sounds good. But now, the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina, here he is, the amazing Velvet. How are you doing, Velvet?
Well, I'm hanging in there. It's good to be here. Everybody's ready and roaring to go. I'd like to introduce our guest tonight. The one, the only, the man who is been known to all over the Northeast. He's even been down here to the South a couple of times. We love him. Sensational Stan Styles, how are you this evening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing great.
Good. Adam, I'm going to let you ask the first question since you've been dying for this interview, so go ahead.
Well, you know, Stan, you know, you come work for me before, and, you know, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. We'll get into the intergender bonanza here in a little bit, but, you know, let's go ahead and let's jump out. Tell us about Stan Styles. Where did it all begin? Where did you get your training?
Well, like a lot of people in wrestling that, you know, they always say, you know, hey, you watch it as a young kid, and you're like, oh, shoot, I want to be a wrestler. That's pretty much how it was. I was watching back in the day WCW Worldwide and WWF Superstars. I saw Shawn Michaels. I was like, oh, well, I want to be like this guy. Told my mom. Mom's like, oh, that's great, Stan. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And and I trained so many different places. I first trained my first track. Pretty much anyone who ever even showed me, I really feel out of bump, was this tag team called the Hate Breed. I'm not even sure if they're around anymore. And then I went and trained a little bit with Joe Gacy and his tag partner at the time. And then I went and trained with Pinky Sanchez, and I trained at DWF. Oh, I'm sorry, even before that, I trained at Ace. And then from there, I trained with Pinky and a lot of other wrestlers at DWF at the time. And that was back in the end of 2009 into 2010 is when I had my first professional match. And it's crazy because I wasn't even, you know, people say they're so nervous. I wasn't even nervous my first match. I was like, I got this. Like, now I get more nervous now doing this almost 13 years.
Would you growing up in Pennsylvania, Did ECW have a lot of effect on you, or were you morely WCW, WWF at the time?
At first, it was WWF. I always was a WWF fan, then WCW. Then when I discovered ECW, I was like, oh, my God, oh, this is insane. And a lot of my friends were into the same thing. But when we saw ECW, we really, like, clicked to that because it had, like, a very, like, concert, like, metalhead feel. And we all listened to that music back in the day, and it was just something totally different and just crazy, all, like, you know, hardcore action, and, like, it had more of an edge to it, too, and then the Attitude Era came, but, yeah, definitely.
You know, and everyone you know, nowadays they're calling it a gimmick. Everyone has something that they that stands out with them. And the first thing that if anyone Googles you or sees, the first thing they see is a shake weight. Yes. What brought the shake weight into fruition?
It was around the time when it first came out, and then the South Park did that episode, and everyone was, like, all talking about it. And I remember I was with an ex-girlfriend. It was either, like, a Kmart or Target. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Target. And we both saw it. She's like, hey, you should come out for shake weight. And I went, yep, I should. And took it and bought one, and the rest is history.
Well, it worked, and I love for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing that you do, and it's weird that before I was introduced to you, I actually saw the video of a fan that fell asleep. And one of your other things is that you come to the ring with a can of whipped cream.
Yeah.
And the fan was asleep, and you pretty much woke him up by shooting whipped cream in his mouth. Was it just something you want to interact with the fans, or what was the whipped cream involved?
He was I always had the whipped cream gimmick that came later on, but the he came to the show, I believe they said, with a tribe of kids, so he must have been tuckered out. And they said he, like, once the show started, he was asleeping the whole time, and I was like, no, you can't. Like, I don't understand how he was sleeping with all the music and everyone yelling. So I was like, oh, I saw him, and I shot the whipped cream in his mouth, and he got, like, a rude awakening, or a creamy awakening, I would say. And then he was laughing about it, and he was awake for the rest of the show. But yeah, it was just something I saw. I was like, yeah. And there was other occasions where, like, I came out and fans were like, I believe it was at your show in South Carolina, like, one girl said, put some whipped cream in my beer. I was like, nope, okay. Kind of gross, but whatever. Keep his own, some cream ale.
We're weird down here in South Carolina. We're a little weird down here. Probably was a Velvet fan. Had to be a Velvet fan.
Oh, Lord.
She's an attractive young lady. So, hey, why not?
Right?
Yeah. I always just want to really put as many smiles on faces as I can when I wrestle.
Very nice.
Very good.
Velvet, is there anything that you would like to ask tonight?
No, I think he's got a great gimmick. He's got a great look. I think everything is spot on. I think he's got everybody's got to find their own niche. And whatever works, you run with until you can't run with it anymore. Then you got to figure out, okay, what am I going to do now? And I think he's found that niche, and I think it works anywhere you go. Everywhere you've been, this is really taking on a life of its own at this point, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really. A lot of people. Well, thank you for that too. And a lot of people told me, like, it's crazy that how you had this gimmick, the shake weight, and it became you and the whipped cream and the pants, and that I really, especially the shake weight, they said, like, you kept it, like, relevant, and, like, people still, like, get a kick out of it after all these years. And it just, you know, I just like to get creative, and now I'm doing the heel gimmick too, and that shocked everyone. Everyone's calling me Evil Stan Styles now, but I still will do babyface heel. It doesn't matter. Same
right.
Thing. It's still fun and entertaining no matter what I do. And it just, I like to get creative, and like you said, you have to keep on, like, adapt and elevate. Because I always am like, what can I do more with this, and what can I do to, like, elevate even more? And because I'm always like thinking, like, 5 steps ahead. I'm like, what else can I do? Oh, I didn't do that yet. And other people, I love when people give me ideas too, because I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, like, I'm not thinking of that.
Right. Well, yeah, because you gotta, if you stay the par for the course, and you know, people go, I've already seen this, it gets old, you know?
Yeah.
Every time you add a new wrinkle to what you're doing, all you're doing is just putting more arsenal in your repertoire, and then, you know, you can figure out what's going to work here versus what's not going to work here. Should I be a baby face here? Should I be a heel here? So, yeah, that's good. That's good. And a lot of like for the young, like for the kids that are starting out now, what would you tell them starting out now, kind of like what you've been through to this point? What would you tell them to stick with or whatever?
I always say, you know, the typical eyes open and mouth shut, but I'll add to that. I'll say, you know, if you have questions, don't, you know, be respectful and be humble, but ask questions because I'm, especially somebody like me, I'll answer anything, you know. The stupidest one is the one you don't ask, because I feel that with that eyes with mouth shut, it's like, well, sometimes they'll have good questions, and I'll even think, like, hey, okay, and then let's do this, you know. So don't be scared. Like, always be humble, be respectful. I always say less is more. Less is so much more. And work smarter, not harder. You don't have to do – it's all about memories. It's not about moves. It's about memories. You want people to remember you, create memories, so they can come back and want to see even more memories. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that is true. You want to make memories. And you hit the nail on the head. It's not all about the moves. It's about memories. People will remember something you did so simple for a long time versus, you know, how many super kicks you did in that match or how many planches you did and how many times you jumped off the top rope. The little things.
Yep.
That's what people forget. And I'm glad you said that because that's a training point right there and a teaching point.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening, people, he's spot on. He hasn't been in the business as long as some of us that are on this podcast. But perfect training and teaching moment. Thank you for that because I've been preaching that for so long.
I always tell the young kids, especially like the real young ones, that they think they're indestructible. I'm like, everyone has a bump card. Everyone, and no matter what. Like, you're going to take that one bump, and you're going to be like, oh, boy. And it's going to be like, you ain't have much left in you. So, like, you got to – everyone has a bump card no matter what. Like, because like you were saying, they want to, like, do so much stuff. I'm like, by the time you hit 4 or 5 years in, you're shot. And it's like, come on. Like, don't you want longevity in this business? It's really important.
Well, that's where – I think a lot of times, I think the trainers fall short a lot of times on helping develop that character, develop a gimmick, or help tweak a gimmick. You know, a lot of times, like, kids get mad and then they just run off and go hit the road. Mm. Yeah, you're going to learn some stuff, but you're also probably going to get hurt in the process. So go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, another thing, too, I would tell people coming into the business, don't take your – actually, this is my number one thing. I can't believe I forgot this. Well, it's been a long week. But don't take yourself too seriously. Like, you can't take yourself too seriously in this business. Like, look at me. I come out with shake weight and with cream. Come on.
Exactly. Look at some of the other guys in the business. I mean, you know Happy Hour. Come on. That's funny to me. You know, he's not a great wrestler, but guess what? The gimmick works.
It works,
And
it works
funny.
In my
church.
Yeah, he was telling me, he called me every time he goes to your show, he called me immediately and says, man, you should have seen this. It was so great. That's what it's about.
He always did really good at my shows, and he always had a fun time, and crowd reacted to him all the time, and they loved the Happy Hour gimmick, his beer, and they're like, oh, wait, you know, and especially my shows, the intergender shows is so much fun, and it really is about having fun, and, like, you got beer on top of it, so people go nuts.
Right, exactly.
And honestly, I think this is a great segue into the question, since we are talking about your shows. Intergender Bonanza. Where did that idea come from, and can you elaborate a little more about it?
It was back in 2018. I was wrestling out in West Virginia in a company, and I was a champion of that company. And the night of or the morning of, the promoter hit me up and said that my opponent for that night couldn't make it. He called out last second, and I was like, oh, crap. And my friend Raina Sky, her opponent, I don't know if they had an opponent for her or I don't know what was going on, but she's like, oh, I'm just doing a promo. I'm like, wait a minute. And she's from Philadelphia too. And I said, man, you can't just go up there for a promo. I'm like, what if I like tell the promoter like we work or something, we work a match? She said, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, it'll be so it's fun and it'll be crazy different and it'll be easy and you know, have a blast. And I told the promoter at first, like, they weren't really too keen on it. And I said, no, just trust me. Like, they're going to love it. And we had that match, and fans absolutely ate it up. And it was ridiculous, like all my matches are. But it was a lot of fun. And the fans really, really enjoyed it. And it was just something different. And that pretty much was the catalyst to me to say, hey, like, you know, this was good. And the fans really took to this. And the internet did too. They were like, oh, hey guys, you guys worked at that show. What the hell? And yeah, I should like start my own show, my own intergender. Like, it was supposed to be a one-off. Like, I should just do my own show. And I just said, out of nowhere, I'm like, I'll call it Stan Styles Intergender Bonanza. And I got my blessing from the owners and stuff. And they said, yeah, you can do it here. And I just started to contact people I knew. And then I really started promoting it heavily. And more word got out. And big names started hitting me up saying they really wanted to be a part of it, and they said it was a start of something special. And now we're going into the 11th one next year in March 12th. It's crazy. Like even the 10th one, I was like, man, I did 10 of these shows, and now we're going to 11, a whole new like I could say decade of bonanzas.
There you go. That's awesome.
And I mean, like you said, you've had some big names come through it. Can you name some of the ones that come through? I know Joey Ryan and also Miranda Gordy has gone through it.
Yeah, she was the last show. It was awesome. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. I love Miranda. She was so so nice, and she really went all out to make that show. And I really have nothing bad to say at all about her. And she had a killer time. Fans really liked her because she was in the area doing a signing, and fans were saying, oh, Miranda Gordy should come with the Bonanza. And we were talking, and she was like, I'll take a bus there. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, she went all out to be at the show because she really wanted to be on it. Yeah, you said Joey Ryan, Priscilla Kelly, now Gigi Dolan, WWE, Shotzi Blackheart, Sonny Kiss. I had Thunder Rosa and Holly Dead, Twisted Sisters. I believe that might have been their last ever tag match together. They wrestled the Jim Nasty Boys at my show. We had Ray Lynn, Zoe Sky on there multiple times. Just had Masha Slamovich, Impact Star Masha Slamovich, and I can't wait for next year because I've been this whole week I've been hitting up a lot of people and really working some things out. So I'm excited for next year who I'm going to bring in and stuff too.
Cool.
That's absolutely awesome. Well, on this panel we have a gentleman that we call the Wrestling Professor. Steve Logan. I know he had a couple questions for you. Steve, why don't you go ahead?
Oh yeah. Yeah, also a big fan of the opponents you mentioned earlier, Shotzi Blackheart and some others that you mentioned. I have an interest in Japanese wrestling. How is it to wrestle Kikutaro?
Oh, I love that match. Oh, that was one of my favorite. I love going to California. I love going anywhere, but the West Coast, I really, really, really love the West Coast. And when I got to wrestle him, it was such an honor. And it was so much fun. And I remember he asked the booker who was over, and he said, oh, you. And he's like, he was upset. He's like, oh. He was so upset because he loses all the time. Like, most of the guys would come and lose. And he was like, oh. And then, like, we're going over the match and just having so much fun thinking of ideas and stuff. And he was like, oh, finish, And he was like, he was kind of like stuck. He's like, well, how am I supposed to win? And he was like, maybe whipped cream and down trunks and then Shining Wizard. Like, sure. It was a blast for us, man. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Man, that was so cool. Another question I have was, since you're heavily involved in promoting intergender wrestling, was Andy Kaufman an influence? Because he's probably one of the earliest intergender wrestlers.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of feel he was more of like when I looked at Andy Kaufman, I was like, you know what, I want to do like not what he's doing, like going after all these girls and stuff and like beating them. I'm like, no, I want it. I really saw that and went, yeah, I really want to promote equality, and I really want to show that, hey, like what we do is entertainment. And that there is really no equal in this, you know, like in this make-believe world where we we wrestle and or do scripted fights in our underwear. like I know a lot of people will say, oh, you know, it's the awesome abuse and all this. I'm like, well, but if you're going to watch a TV show or a movie, you see a girl kick a guy's ass, you know, like, isn't that, you know, what is that, you know, especially wrestling is all work. So, yeah, he really wasn't too big. I honestly, like, what really most inspired me of intergender wrestling was I was booked in intergender wrestling matches because of my character, and I was like, oh, boy, like, this is totally different. And the more I started doing it, the more I wanted to do more of it, and because it was getting really over, and it got, especially on online, it was just really getting a buzz, and that's what really, like, made me say, hey, you know, I really want to do more intergender matches and run the bonanza.
More serious question. Being involved in intergender wrestling, how do you get women to trust you and kind of trust your judgment during the matches? And, like, how do you have to treat them differently than men?
No. All the girls I booked and even worked with were always super professional and super nice. And I can go on and on about some of the girls I worked with. They were total sweethearts. And when we went in there, hey, you know, like, I don't have to tell these girls to lay it in. Like, they would lay it in to make this look, you know, especially, like, somebody like me, a 100-pound girl, she's going to have to lay it in to make it look a little real, make it believable. Hey, why not, you know, whatever. I've had really good stories wrestling girls and their characters and how my character interacted with them in the ring. And, no, it was all the girls I booked and worked with were really professional.
And any chance of wrestling, I don't know if you have yet, but have you wrestled any Joshi or Japanese woman in intergender wrestling at all?
No. I wrestled Tara Rizume. In Seattle? Yeah, Seattle. She was from Thailand, but, yeah, I never wrestled anyone Japanese. I would love to. I think that's a goal of mine. And of course, COVID really messed with a lot of people's like agendas, especially when it hit riots. Oh man! But yeah, if I would be able to travel to Japan, or I don't know how crazy. I think it's really hard to create really a band to go there now, but or for them to come here, I would love to wrestle. Everyone's told me that if I wrestle in Japan, or it would just be this. So much fun. They would really like take towards me, especially the gimmick and stuff.
I think DDT would be a good place.
Yeah.
For you to work.
Yeah, I would be so honored, and I'll have a blast.
But Adam Velvet, thanks for letting me get my questions in, and if you guys got any more,
absolutely.
Of course.
So. We've learned a lot so far. We learned that 2022. Have you already got a bunch of bookings already, or go ahead.
Yeah, it was definitely picking up big time. I actually just secured some bookings today. Especially February. I think my February is like all like just crazy booked up, which is crazy. It's a cold month here, but a lot of people are running in February.
Right.
But yeah, I got some openings still though. But I'm gonna debut at some new places. I'm going out to California again in February. Bonanza in March. Some other places I'll be debuting, and a lot of companies are coming back now pre-COVID or running again, so I'll be working for them too. So yeah, it's start 2022 is definitely starting out really well. So knock on wood.
Good. So who do you look forward to, guy or girl that you may come across that you may get an opportunity to work down the road in 2022? Anybody in mind? Anybody you got kind of got an eye on that you might want to? You know,
oh man,
hopefully cross paths
so
with. Well, just give us a couple.
Women, I know Lufisto. I heard she can wrestle back in the States. I would love to wrestle Lufisto. She's sweetheart. I think we'd have a killer match. And she's like a big pioneer of intergender wrestling too. Like way before I started. And another again, a Canadian, a Sexy Eddie. I never got to wrestle Sexy Eddie. Dan's been screaming for that match, and they said, I can't believe it never happened. And I think maybe 2022 is the perfect time. So, those two come to mind right away.
Awesome,
anyway,
awesome.
I'll even say Fandango. People want to see me wrestle Fandango now.
Now that's cool.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
If I could mention, I just recently met Fandango at a show in Richmond, and he was doing a seminar, so that was pretty cool to get him, get up close look at his teaching and how to wrestle and how to work. So I definitely would like to see a Fandango styles matchup for sure.
Yeah, that'd be
Jerry
a lot
Dango
fun.
Good. Hey, Dr. John, is anybody in the queue just to check?
Well,
right, while he's doing that,
we have someone from area code 312. They were just so. Who's calling in from area code 312 with us?
Because if you have to ask, really, after all these years, you don't know.
Oh boy!
You only got to call.
We have listen, buddy. We have a list of people from area code 312, but the voice gives it away.
Not as famous as I.
Not a last four words.
It's the pompous ass. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Paul, be quiet, Velvet. There goes the neighborhood.
Yes, sir. Always.
By the way, guys, listening in, very impressed with what I've been hearing so far tonight. God bless Intergender Wrestling. That's how I got started. I got started managing girls. I managed Melanie Cruz and Taylor Made, and my first match was against Serena Deeb. So Intergender is and women's wrestling is very close to me in terms of where I've been in the business. I think it's awesome. Again, I've been listening. Congrats on your career. I'm glad to see that you're making headway with a gimmick that is unique and something that should be applauded. And so I wanted just to chime in on those couple of points.
Absolutely. So, Dan, you talked about a bump card. My bump card's about to expire. So are you ever going to get the Amazing Velvet to come to your energy?
Yeah, I'm going to have to have a match, yeah.
That's all good, man. Yeah, I mean, it's up to you. I'm not trying to get – I mean, if you want to call me, that's great. I mean, that's not a big I love watching everything. I hear such good stuff. There's rattlings around. Holodad said good stuff about you. A lot of the other girls you did mention have been on Twitter and stuff, and I've kind of – every time you have one, I kind of listen to social media to see what happens after your shows. Nothing but good has been said after all of your Intergender bananas.
Yeah, it's
so that's
crazy
cool.
Buzz. It's all good.
It is. The buzz is, like, super hard. So hopefully the one in March is really going to kick ass because, dude, you're doing something that a lot of people wish they could do. So keep that up.
Oh, thank you.
More applause. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, bud.
So my only thing is, before we get to any other questions, my question is, the last time you were here, I felt so bad for you because you were really, really sick after the show. So I understand you made it home. We didn't hear anything after that about with you. So what did happen? Did you kind of figure it out, or it was just something that you ate, or was it just like,
just pretty much said it. Yeah, it was. I really didn't have that much to eat. And whatever I ate, I definitely got some kind of food poisoning. I was just done. And then I had a bad like migraine on top of it too. So
it was awful, man.
Yeah, it was bad, and it wasn't the match or anything that happened in the match. It was nothing like that. It was nothing wrong with my head. I had a really bad migraine, really bad headache. I felt nauseous, and it was definitely something I ate. And then I said, after I just relaxed and stuff, and I ate some, I had some, I threw, I think I threw up, and then I was like, all right, I felt better. And then, like, I slowly ate more, like, later in the night, and then I was fine. And then I finally got to sleep a little bit, and I came back. I remember that come back on the plane, I was totally fine. But yeah, like that night, it was I don't know what was going on,
dude. Because when we got over to the Gurner's house and you were out on the couch when I walked in the door, dude, you were like green, yellow, and purple.
It was no fun. Yeah.
I went to talk to you, and you didn't even – you saw me. You looked at me, and that was about it. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I was fine after. Like late at night, I remember it was, like, I think, like midnight or, like – it was late at night, and I was fine. I was like, oh, yeah, and, you know, it just – yeah, but I was definitely – it was definitely something I ate, and on top of that, like, bad migraine, which – yeah, I've experienced them before. I haven't in a while recently – but like I've had migraines, Robin's like you just said on the couch, and I'm like, oh man, like, and just my blood sugar would go down, and it happens, and I was like, oh well, that would give me some electrolytes or some honey, like sugar,
right.
Always my diet is so clean, I should. Sometimes I just use
that's a good thing. I mean, every now and again you gotta have a little sugar.
Yeah, my metabolism is just so crazy.
A little chocolate.
Yeah.
I think Chaz was going to say something to you. Go ahead, Chaz.
No, what I was going to say is, Dan, how would we contact you in terms of learning more about the Intergender show and possibly talking business privately?
I have a Linktree now. I just discovered that. Linktree. Stan Styles has all my links, all the social media for myself, the Intergender Bonanza. I just opened up a big cartel wrestling store. And that's actually going really well, too. You can even watch the Intergender Bonanza on IWTV and have the link right there. And Smart Mark has DVD and digital download distribution of the past Bonanzas, too. And it's all linked on there. So, Linktree / Stan Styles has everything right there for you. Made it all easy.
Gotcha. No, that's good.
Cool stuff.
Like I said, I'll definitely be contacting you privately, and hopefully we can talk some business.
Sure.
Cool.
And if you make me manage Velvet, I will never forgive you.
Yeah, right. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm used to carrying a towel to the ring for my client or a briefcase or something that they need, but I'm not going to wheel out an iron lung for this guy.
You're funny.
That's where I draw
the
line. Yes, I
am. Okay.
And you love me.
Oh, my goodness. So your bookings are coming in good. You're still trying to figure out what you're going to do for Intergender Bonanza. That's good. So, personally, just you, even if it's your character, you personally, what is the next thing that you are trying to accomplish, or you're trying to add maybe something to your repertoire, or just something that you personally hope to succeed and do in 2022?
A lot, actually. The Bonanza is definitely always said
number
that
one.
I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, number one is that, because I want to always to do more Bonanzas, you know, and I'm going to be – I have at least 5 dates for the next year for Intergender Bonanza, so
good.
That's a big thing.
Cool.
And, yeah, that was a big thing. For myself, I've been doing this for a while now, so, like, I really am more just helping young talent just find themselves, get their characters down, and I really am helping a lot of the young talent. And this is always my goal every year, is to wrestle as many places as I possibly can, new places. I love wrestling new places, new crowds. It's almost like an artist. You have a blank piece of paper or a blank canvas, you paint that picture. I really, really love that. Yeah, those are really my three big things in this with like my repertoire and stuff. I've come up with some different ideas. I don't want to spoil anything. I got some ideas.
Yeah, that's fun.
Just some funny.
Yeah, never
ideas.
Leave the cat out of the bag.
No. Yeah, I've always. I'll say this. Like now that I do more of the heel gimmick, the evil stance style, I've been really trying to changed up my look every time. And I'm really drawing inspiration from, like, what Seth Rollins is doing and Becky Lynch. Like they have all these goofy, outlandish outfits and suits. And
right.
I thought that's perfect for me. And I got a shirt made with all myself all over it. Talking about that. And maybe some ideas for some new kind of pants, because fans love the pants, and maybe some shake weight. The Creamy World Order stuff's been really getting over. So I'm really, you know, it's another thing too. I'm really, really up in my merch this year, because merch is so important. I've been really, really trying to get on different ideas for merchandise and stuff. So that's
good.
Shirts are definitely in the work. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much
so
the main one.
So let me ask you, what,
for new gear, you might want to hit up Allie Parker. She's very good.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
She makes custom gear, and she's very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. She's good. She's good. There's a lot of people out there. That's what I was going to get. My next question was going to be, who do you work with right now for gear at this point? And if you want to give them a plug, that'd be good. Chaz just did. Go ahead.
Yeah, my gear maker is actually Lou Berg. I think he's – man, it's crazy. I think he's out in Minnesota. I'm pretty sure he's out there somewhere in the Midwest. But, yeah, he's great. He's been doing my gear. He's been doing my gear since 2019. He's amazing. He gets bagged up a lot, but he's coming back and getting back on track again. And he's made a lot of my – like all the extra creamy pants, all my vests, and
right.
A lot of my recent trites. Yeah, he's made my recent – and he's really good. And that's important too, because you have to have good gear too, and especially if, gimmicks and stuff. You have to stand out. But yeah, it's very important. I didn't even know Allie Parker was making gear. That's crazy. You said that.
Cool. Well, that's good. So, Steve, you got anything else you want to add to the conversation?
Who was the toughest woman you ever wrestled?
Maria Manic, without question. Maria Manic is as nails. She is so she's strong, she's tough, she'll take anything, and she's great.
Yeah, I think she used to work in Virginia. I think she used to work from there, and so I'm glad to hear that she is one of the toughest. So.
Yes, her.
I got that.
She definitely comes to mind first. Sue Young, probably number two. She was the top of the depth of nails too, and just her gimmick is so supernatural, so it works so well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, you had a chance to work for Ryan Knight.
Like I didn't hear that. What was that?
I'm sorry, have you had a chance to work Soraya Knight yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Soraya Knight was one of the first clients I ever had. She is definitely tough as nails, no two ways about it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's that would be something else there too, yeah.
Hey, Dr. John, Todd's wanting to join us.
Oh, okay, great. We got so many people, they keep piling in at the bottom, so let me see what
Yeah, they're piling in the door. They're loving what we're doing. You know, we've got
to
keep piling in.
While we wait to get Todd and everything, let me ask, Stan, have you had any international travel, or are you looking to do it in the near future?
Definitely. Again, COVID really took its toll on a lot of that. But I do have my passport. I'll be traveling next year, like I said, California, and who knows where else. But, yeah, I've always stayed in the United States. Canada was another place I would love to travel out to. But, yeah, the world's so flux right now. You don't know what's happening next and all these different variants and you don't know all this craziness and stuff going on, and you know, it's just you got to take it day by day. But yeah, I would definitely love to do that.
Awesome. It's so hard, you're right now, just travel restrictions, all these demands and things that they put on. You know, like a lot of, like AEW had a lot of problem with that. Like Pac couldn't get back for several months. You know, his country wouldn't let him out. And then he finally gets out. And then the same thing happened to Ty Conti. She got stuck in Brazil.
and then he finally got out. But yeah, I mean, you just you don't know. So kind of,
yeah.
I'm hoping you get to do that. That's something that we'll be looking out for, and you know, definitely, you know, have you back on if you ever get to do something like that, and we'd love to hear the stories and what you did. So, but this group right here, pretty much, Adam and I pay attention to what you got going on. Ever since we met you and got to know you. So that's something we do. Anybody that comes on the show, we keep tabs on, see what they're doing, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, it's you're going to have an exciting 2022, I can tell. You said you got five dates for Jennifer Banana. Awesome. So Velvet has five opportunities of one. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, man, it's all good. Yeah, I'm trying to be like Chaz, you know. I got to take my opportunity when I can.
Well, I will tell you this. We actually have a question from Facebook, someone that's listening. James Simmons from here in Charleston wanted to know, Stan, if you had your choice of going to the WWE or AEW, where would you go?
Yeah, I would probably say AEW because I feel that I would love to go to WWE, but I feel that AEW would let me do my gimmick or at least some of it, like where WWE would be like, oh, no, we got to change all this and just, you know, repackage me, which I'm down to. I'm down to do really whatever if I have that opportunity, but I love the gimmick. I love to do what I do, and I feel that AEW would give me more creativity, let me be me.
Do you still do the breakaway pants, the multiple breakaway pants?
Oh, I would. Oh, yeah. I would.
You want Orange Cassidy in there, and you do the breakaway pants, Orange Cassidy? I would love to see his reaction.
You know,
if you really want to just maintain your gimmick and keep as much freedom as you can, the NWA is the place to go.
That's another. There's a lot of leeways now where before there really was no other like alternative, but now AEW is really is doing something else. I have a lot of friends that are there, and they're doing great things too. So we'll see.
Oh yeah,
see what the future holds.
The only scary thing though is being one of the old timers and living through the Monday Night Wars. I just wonder, with all the spending that's going on talent, when the money's going to run out and you're going to wind up with another WCW situation.
I thought of that.
I don't know if it's going to be the WWE or AEW, but they keep spending like they're spending. Someone's going to go broke.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I said that before, too, and I know WWE's made cuts, and a lot of the cuts they made were just shocking. I've been really saying that, too, like, oh, man, like, and I always say, like, oversaturation, like, how many, you know, they have all this amazing talent, it might turn into WCW where, like, they don't know what to do with these guys, and they're just sitting on the sidelines because there's just so many people they have, and they don't know what to do with all of them.
I mean, the E's guys, you know, they say, oh, look at all the cuts, but they've got, they still have 200 talents signed to contract.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a bigger roster than they've ever had in their history. And I remember talking to Kevin Nash and a Honky Tonk Man one time, and Honky Tonk said that when he went to WCW, it was the easiest stint he ever did because he never worked one show. But he got paid for 2 years.
Jesus.
just to keep him from going back to the then WWF, they paid him his salary, they paid him his asking price for 2 years, and he sat at home. I mean,
that's crazy.
It's just an observation, but you tend to wonder. I mean, get it while you can. Velvet knows I'm a master of taking my opportunities when they come. Because you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Khan's father pulls the plug and says, sorry, kid, I'm not going to bankroll you anymore. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, that you never know what's going to happen. Especially the way the world is now, too, with everything going on. That could be, you know, that could be the case. I feel that AEW is getting bigger. They're getting stronger. Like, I feel like they'll have a big surge, and then they'll kind of trickle down a little bit, then they'll come back again. Like they're kind of going a little bit of a seesaw.
Well, definitely, it all goes in cycles. You know that.
It definitely goes in cycles.
But right now, the dark horse, the one I'm watching, and the one I'm looking at in terms of seeing if they're going to step up and pick up young talent, is the NWA.
Yeah, they did pick up some people, too.
The answer
to,
go ahead. So go ahead, Sam.
Even Impact has picked up some of the talent, too.
Yeah?
I just don't, my thing is, I have a, to answer Chaz real quick, I don't know, man. They had some talent that they let go because they hit too hard. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought the NWA was all about hard hitting. The NWA stands for no whining allowed. Stop doing it. A lot of them whine. They don't want to work so-and-so. They don't want to do that. Stop.
No,
stop. You're in professional wrestling. But you're in professional wrestling. If you want to do cinemagraphic and all scripted out stuff, then you go to WWE.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a professional wrestler, but if you're going to be a professional wrestler and you're going to be in this business the correct way and you want to do the NWA or you want to do Impact or you want to do AEW, you better bring your A game and quit being a little whiny little bastard. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, Velvet, because even going, let's go back to when AEW first started. There were videos that were being that were going viral of AEW talent not touching each other with a punch. I mean, it was just bad fluff stuff. So, I mean, you all got to step up and let the boys play, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well, but the NWA's thing was I'll tell you who they fired. They fired the Dawson brothers because everybody was complaining about how stiff they were. Dude,
they weren't stiff. They were
the
snub.
NWA. Right. It was the same. It's the NWA, for God's sake. NWA was about hard-hitting, no-nonsense wrestling, not what you see today in certain areas. I'm sorry. If you're going
to
be an NWA superstar.
I mean, what do you think these kids are going to do when they go to Japan? Okay?
Yeah.
In a translation, strong style means stiff as F. Okay, you know, strong style, so he can stiff the hell out of people. You don't believe me? Watch the Great Antonio match. Strong style.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it's just funny to me that, you know, it's just funny to hear people say,
And again, the boys have to police themselves as well.
True.
In my opinion.
True. Well,
you know,
if you run to Billy Corgan,
but here's my question: what's worse, somebody who's snug, or somebody who's dangerous? And I'll give you a case in point. I don't shed a tear over either one of them: Nia Jax and Nyla Rose. Improperly trained, if trained at all, reckless, unsafe, and you know they all. I got released. I'm never going to wrestle again. Good. You promise? Do us all a favor.
Yeah, there's a difference between snug and unsafe. Absolutely.
Agreed.
I'm just saying.
Agreed.
But if you got to, but if you have to whine to the boss that you can't work these people and this person, come on. Then what am I paying you for?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why
I mean,
are you even here?
Whine to Vince because Vince will fire him.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
like
exactly.
Like them or not, Vince will get rid of them.
Oh, absolutely, because he'll say, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
Well, no, with 200 talents, he's going to say, oh, well, pal, I'll get somebody else.
Right, you know, and if you can't police yourself and take care of yourself in the ring, then you don't need to be in the ring.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
no, I agree. I wasn't going to bring this up, guys, but maybe I'll – throw it out to the panel. There was something that happened last night down at World Class in Texas that was not only disturbing, but it was just downright disgusting. Hannibal Nicholson, you guys all know who he is, the Blood Hunter. And I'm going to say it's a self-mark that pays for himself to get booked on shows, pays for his opponent to get booked on shows. This fool worked last night, won his match, and then decided to go off script and attack the referee, severing an artery, having this guy have to do emergency surgery with 7 staples in his head, and he's splashing it all over his YouTube and his Facebook trying to get monetized from it.
Jesus, yeah, I saw that.
I mean,
this guy here, he needs to be blackballed.
He's not one of the boys.
There's
no room for that in this business. There's no room for that in this business. I'm sorry. There is no room. Because that's like if I went up to Pennsylvania and worked for Stan and took liberties on my opponent, whether it was a male or female, same thing, and then decided I'm going to show my butt all the way to the locker room and smacking people and smacking security and, you know, and more people come out and I start smacking. That's just unprofessional. I'm sorry. A referee shouldn't be put hands on.
What upsets me the most, though, Velvet, was this. The guy's got hepatitis C, okay? When he contracted hepatitis from Abdullah the Butcher, he was pissing and moaning, oh, I lost my WWE tryout, oh, woe is me. He goes on Inside Edition and blah, 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 whining, trying to get the world to feel sorry for him. This guy still got hepatitis C, and he's biting the referee. Are you stupid?
Yes.
Yeah, something like that shouldn't be nowhere near
the
building.
No, they don't need to be in
the building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Exactly.
Oh, it was kayfabe. Nonsense.
Yeah, it looked like it was at work, too. Like they were working it, but it's like, what's this? It's almost like the question, why? Why are you doing it? Why? It's almost like he was just trying to tell Tate to get popular.
You should have seen the blood smear. When they dragged the ref out, the blood smear was like the size of two people's heads halfway across the ring all the way to the apron.
No,
yeah,
that's
crazy.
What happened to the fundamental safety and all that? Look, I thought kind of some of the goal was longevity and stuff like that. We get, again, fundamental safety, and it smacks of disrespect and, you know, for other people, as well as there's a void of sagacity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed. You know, guys, we talk all the time, Velvet and I, about the old days of the territories and whatnot, and how you get a certain wrestler that can just do something stupid and kill a town. This guy killed the whole show. The show was up until he did this nonsense, and then it went right down. Half the crowd left. It was a family-friendly show. People got their kids out of there. I mean, it's just stupid. I bring it out there because anybody who wants to book this guy, better think again. He brings nothing to the table.
There's a lot of shysters out there that don't bring anything to the table that shouldn't be there. Mm. But you know what? There's more than enough to go around across this country other than him. But,
you know,
I mean,
I had a laugh. He bought himself a belt and calls himself the Texas heavyweight champion. Get the hell out of here. You bought yourself a belt, dude. $179 on Brigade belts. I know where a belt is.
Hey, that sounds like somebody we know, don't we, Adam?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's this guy's name again?
And I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to monopolize the segment or anything, but Stan, since you do book your own shows, Hannibal's one you don't want.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I was watching. I'm like, why? Why is this happening? I hear the kids, like, all going crazy. They're like, what the hell is this? He's like stabbing the ref. I'm like, why is he even attacking the ref? And then like, I think a girl came out to like stop him. And like,
well, that was his
day, like, and
the other idiot.
Oh, okay.
Standby.
And then like, I think he attacked somebody else with his belt. And I'm like, you can clearly see that there's something wrong with this guy. Like, he's definitely got some screws loose in his head.
From what I understand,
idiot.
He showed up to the venue drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
Why they shouldn't have even had the match. Beyond me.
Yeah. That's against the promotion. Yeah. Like, yeah, why would he even?
No. Yeah. Well, you listen. If you're paying for, if you're giving the promotion money to pay for yourself, and there's not people do dumb stuff, dude.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's like you and I, Stan, decide we're going to go to West Virginia, and decide, hey, we're not booked on the show, but we got some cash to burn. Hey, man. We'll give you some cash toward the show. Let us, you know, work these two guys you got over here that ain't doing nothing. And then we just go in there and just do horrible crap.
The deal is, though, you're not working at that point. You're
self-marking cosplaying at that point.
No, no, exactly. Oh, no, no, exactly.
Well, let me ask. Is that the promotion just money-grabbing and not caring?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Because a lot of promoters and a lot of independent shows are hurting for money because we were just talking about, you know, COVID put a hurting on everybody. Mm-hmm. If I walked up and said, hey, I'm going to drop $500 on this show, do you think they're going to turn that down? No, they're not.
No, because here, brings in himself. He's a wannabe. He brings in himself as a wannabe name. He books his manager, who's another wannabe, never will be. And then he'll say, well, I'll bring in a Justin Credible, or I'll bring in Carlito as my opponent, and I'll take care of all of it. Just give me a spot on the show. Oh, the problem is they gave him a spot, and they gave him one of their referees, and look what he did.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right. It was ridiculous.
Well, we're gonna reel this back in. And we got 5 minutes left, and I'd like to let Stan have an opportunity to tell us what he's got going on for the rest of the year, what he has to promote, what he wants to plug. Dude, the floor is yours, man. Go for it.
Oh, well, this weekend, well, tomorrow I'm actually wrestling at HD1 Discovered, and I'll be also in action in Maryland. I haven't wrestled in Maryland in a while, but I'm going down to Maryland for Assault Wrestling Alliance at AWA. That's going to be a killer show. And also next year, man, there's so much to even talk about. But, just keep checking all my social media. My Twitter is Stan Styles, IGB, Stan Styles on Facebook and Instagram. And also have my Linktree Stan Styles of all my links there for Integer Bonanza, merchandise, T-shirts, anything you need. And if you're looking to book me or anything, podcast, anything like that, my email is stanstylesigb@gmail.com. And, I should get back to you as soon as I can. Sometimes I'm like, oh, God, like, I get backed up sometimes, but I've been doing pretty good last 4 days.
Well, you know what? You got a couple things left on the calendar, but, you know, 22, you're going to be off and running. So we'll keep an eye on what you got going on. We appreciate you being here. I'm going to move on. Steve, what you got, Steve? Anything?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the events coming up in January. There's a Jiu-Jitsu tournament in Midlothian, and then there's United Elite Wrestling on 22nd in Richmond. And then, of course, New Japan's events, Wrestle Kingdom's coming up. It's going to be like a three-day event, I think, this year. So lots to look forward to next month.
Cool. And you know what? Like we said earlier, Steve, there's so much going on right now. You can't keep up. It's hard.
You can't.
And sometimes it'll take you a week just to catch up, and then you're behind again. So, you know, it's an evil cycle, but you know what? It's something we enjoy, and it's something we like to watch. So, you know, and you keep us informed of what's going on, and I appreciate it. I really do. Sinister, I know what you got going on, but you can go ahead and tell us what you have going on, if anything.
Nothing. No, I'm still training in jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and staying in shape. I don't mean to change the subject, but that gentleman I was talking about a few seconds ago, that Hannibal, I'm looking at pictures of that incident, and this guy is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, man, this is disgusting.
There's no place for any of that. It's not, I mean, first of all, if the ref's not in on anything, you don't put your hands on the ref. Sorry. I'm sorry. That just doesn't happen. But,
And don't this guy have don't he have a podcast?
Yeah, he got a podcast. He also does all kinds of other stuff. But anyway, we're not going to deal with all that.
All
right. Sinister, we're still working on some stuff. I didn't get any answers from three different promotions that you and I talked about, but I'm working on that for you and the rest of the guys. So that will be, they probably shut down for the rest of the year, I would imagine, because I didn't see any December dates. I think I saw one December date for one of the promotions, but we'll worry about that when we get, first of the year. Chaz, what you got going on?
Sir.
I know you've got a tour coming up. What you got?
Well, it's called it's aptly titled the Let's Roll 2022 Tour. It's probably going to be my last tour as an active manager. I've been doing this since 2010. And, you know, the evolution of wrestling is such where the mouthpiece isn't what it used to be and isn't as appreciated as it used to be. And, you know, you can only fight the windmill for so long. So I'm going to go out with a bang.
Right.
This is going to be it for me.
Very good.
Definitely looking to travel as much as I can and work as many different promotions as I can. I appreciate all your help in that regard. I look forward to working the Carolinas. Stan, I would love to work your intergender show. As I said, women's wrestling is where I broke in. I mean, I've pretty much managed against them all. You name them, I've run across them at least once. And the easiest bump I ever took was a splash from Awesome Kong. Talk about taking care of somebody. She was phenomenal, dude. Barely felt it. Awesome. But again, I've got bookings.
Cool,
I've got four bookings lined up locally already, and then I'm looking to go down to Louisiana. I would love to come work for you. Definitely want to do the Carolinas. I appreciate Velvet's health and Adam's health. And, you know, we try to stay somewhat in character. I mean, all the time. I know I do. I run that risk. But at the end of the day, we're a brotherhood. And, you know, I'm sorry I took up too much time with this Hannibal nonsense. But you know what? This guy here projects himself to be a star. And he's not. He's a stain. The guy doesn't belong in our business, period. And if anybody don't like it, too bad. The truth. But, you know, that's what I got going on right now.
Yep.
Other than that, like I said, I don't want to take up too much time. Everybody have a great night.
Yep.
Have a great week. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yep. Adam, what you got?
The only thing that I have is promoting next week's show where we have the Man in Black, Chris Nelms, and sitting talking with the panel. But once again, thank you, Stan, for sitting down talking with us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And can't wait to work with you again.
Anytime.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
Say your famous parting words, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to add one part. I love the passion on the show because you guys dig the right thing the right way for the right reason for the job. It's not. You guys aren't here to just take space. The passion is real. Stay smart. Stay safe. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another.
Absolutely. Dr. John, on that note, let's roll it, baby.
We'll roll it. I will say this. Next week, we will have the official announcement on the 2022 Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, the date. And the location. We've kind of got the date, but I'm gonna make sure that on Friday we're gonna have everything set so that we can make a big announcement next week. So thanks everybody for being here with Pro Wrestling Interviews. And this is Dr. John signing off tonight.
Anytime.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Melvin. What did you say?
No, I said thanks. Mm-hmm. I said thanks to Stan. It was awesome. That's all.
Oh, absolutely.
Anytime, guys.
He was. So anyway, thanks a lot to everybody. Velvet, you did a great job as usual. And we'll see everybody next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Pro Wrestling Interviews. Take it away, guys. Have a good one. Have a great week.
All right. Good night, y'all. Everybody,
good night.
Have a good one.
Take care.
You too.
Big hugs.